live from the Poly Market Studio in L.A. It's the Young Turks. Welcome to the Young Turks. Janky Granik is sparing with you guys. Giant show ahead. So we've got heroes and villains. I mean, probably more so than any other day. We've got heroes like Nina Turner and other Just Democrats for different stories. And then unfortunately a lot of Democratic villains, including Nancy Pelosi, Joe Manchin, Kyrsten Sinema, Jim Clyburn. There's a lot to fight back against, and a touch of Republicans as well. But the big inter-party fight between Democrats is gigantic today, and the main topic of conversation. This details in the stories are amazing. Stay tuned for each and every one of them. All right, Casper, let's get started.
All right, well, let's talk about the congressional race for Ohio's 11th district. Chantel Brown, the corporate Democrat who's running against progressive candidate Nina Turner for Ohio's congressional seat in the 11th district, is facing an ethics investigation, potentially, over her handling of government contracts when she was part of the county council in Ohio. Now, she's currently part of the same council while simultaneously serving as the head of the Cuyahoga County Democratic Party. And recently, The Intercept reported on some of the, you know, sweetheart deals that took place that her donors and also a romantic partner of hers got to take advantage of. So here are the details on that. 10 weeks later, one of the firm's owners, well, this is in February 28th of 2017, Brown had deemed, said that she would recuse herself from any decisions regarding government grants to people that she knew. Now, 10 weeks later, one of the firm's owners helped organize a fundraiser that bankrolled a significant portion of her reelection campaign, making an in-kind donation of $2,000 at a fundraiser for Brown that netted her over $7,000, a significant sum in a low budget world of Cleveland area council races. So that's what happened after she had already approved some funding to a general contractor called Perk. And Perk was actually associated with her romantic partner, a man named Mark Perkins. So she makes that decision. Immediately after that, about 10 weeks later, she offers another $7,000 grant to the organization that had given her $2,000 in fundraising money. And in total, Brown has approved more than $17 million to Perk and has received $13,000 in campaign donations from the Perkins family and Perk's current owners, the Sifani family. And so these are illegal. There are very clear laws preventing this type of dealing from happening. One more graphic for you, because it gives you a sense of what she was engaged in, which again goes against the state laws. Besides the $7 million contract in 2017, Brown also voted on three other occasions to approve Cuyahoga City contracts for Perk, totaling an additional $10 million between 2015 and 2019. And in August of 2020, she voted in favor of contracts of $1.875 million to two firms, one headed by Mark Perkins' sister. Remember, Mark Perkins is associated, that's her romantic partner associated with Perk. So this is Mark Perkins' sister, and a second who's former vice president is another family member of Perkins. Perk and McTech, a company owned by Mark Perkins, are frequent and longtime business associates. So I tell you all that because clearly she's offering or approving government contracts to her love interest. She's doing favors, very clear favors in the form of government grants to the individuals who have funded her campaigns. And so that kind of dealing is unacceptable according to state law, which I'll read to you in just a minute.
Okay, so there's two levels of corruption here. By the way, we don't care about her personal life. We care that she's giving contracts to someone who's her partner.
Exactly, right? Yeah.
The one corruption is obvious here. Why don't I give you tens of millions of dollars in contracts with my official position? They're partners, that's number one. And then number two, I'll get money from your campaign contributions from that business. I mean, getting the campaign contributions is corruption 101 in America. I know a lot of the media has gotten used to it. Well, of course, corporations give money and then the politicians serve them and not the voters. That's normal, that they don't even report on it. So the Intercept doing a fantastic job of actually pointing out something that's illegal in this case. And now apparently they're following up in Cleveland to see if she did in fact break the law and there should be consequences. Meanwhile, by the way, corporate Democrats, almost the entire Democratic establishment, seeing this huge corruption scandal go, way to go. And they're pouring more money into her campaign, not less. If a progressive had the slightest little bit of controversy, everybody'd be like, oh my God, you gotta get out, you gotta get out, unendorsed, etc., right? There's a massive ethics controversy, but for corporate Democrats, which is almost all of Democratic leadership, that's not the bug, that's the feature. But the second level of the corruption is, remember, Brown is the head of the Democratic Party in this county, and everybody knows that if you're gonna run for office, you have to step down from being the head of the Democratic Party, because obviously you can't run the party in a neutral way when you're in a race within the party. She's like, no, I don't want to. No, I'm just gonna run the Democratic Party completely corruptly and to my own benefit. And by the way, that's why a lot of locals endorse Nina Turner, because they're like, no, well, that's obviously not right. I don't care who comes in from Washington and tells me that corruption is awesome. I know that if you're the head of the Democratic Party and you're in a primary, you have to step down. You can't rig the entire party in your own favor in a primary race, that's insane. Well, wait till they get a load of this ethics probe. And a lot of them have, and a lot of the endorsers have now switched to Nina Turner.
Right, so the Daily Poster reviewed emails showing that the Ohio State Auditor has reviewed the allegations and they have referred the matter to the State Ethics Commission. And just so you know the details of what the state laws in Ohio indicate, under Ohio law, public officials are prohibited from knowingly authorizing or using their authority or influence to secure authorization of any public contract in which the public official, a member of the public official's family, or any of the public official's business associates has an interest. Violation of the statute is actually a felony and penalties can include prison time. Now, do I think she's actually gonna serve prison time? No, but this is something, you know, after they do their investigation and they further confirm the Intercept's reporting on this, yeah, she broke the law and it is a felony in that state. And you're right, Cenk, if anything even remotely controversial happens, like for progressives, if Nina Turner had allegedly done something controversial, you have no doubt that Democrats would focus on that. They would have like laser beams like focused on that. But here's the thing, since Nina Turner doesn't have any controversies attached to her, they're just manufacturing controversies. In fact, Jim Clyburn, Representative Jim Clyburn, apparently became incredibly upset over a town hall that featured the Young Turks, Cenk was there, Killer Mike, and Nina Turner. It was a town hall for Nina Turner. And Clyburn was gonna endorse her anyway, but Chantel Brown's team found this snippet from the town hall, sent it to Clyburn, and he got very upset about it allegedly. So let's take a quick look at that.
What I realized as we were in South Carolina in 16, and I saw the DNC try to sabotage their strongest candidate, what I realized when I saw people like Clyburn, which I don't have a problem with in South Carolina for the good work he's done, but I think it's incredibly stupid to not cut a deal before you get someone elected president, and the only thing you get is a federal holiday and nothing tangible out of it.
You talk about
so,
it.
And that criticism is with love, because I'm going to still come through your state, and I don't want state troopers to stop me. But what I realized is, you got folks taking the bag on both sides. And you have people in the Democratic and Republican parties that are far more loyal to the people and corporations and the corporations that sponsor their running than they are to the people who actually vote to get them there.
So Jake, just one graphic before I go to you, because in response to that video, Representative Jim Clyburn said, and this is the last graphic, I personally got involved when I was invited by the Turner campaign. They talked about my, when I was invited by the Turner campaign, they talked about my stupidity for endorsing Joe Biden. And I just kind of decided if I'm going to be stupid, might as well be stupid.
Well, that's the one thing we agree on. Okay, so now let me break this down, last couple things down. First of all, on Clyburn. This is a joke. They are spending millions against Nina Turner. They were always going to spend millions against Nina Turner. Hillary Clinton had already endorsed Brown against Turner. Clyburn was going to endorse Brown against Turner. And a day before his endorsement, we do the town hall. Of course, Washington Post jumps all over it, and as do other media. They say, oh wow, that was an amazing town hall, standing room only. Nina Turner's incredibly popular in Cleveland. No. They just take that one part as the Oppo research given to them by the corporate Democrat, and they go, well, we work for you, so what would you like us to do for it, for you? Oh, you'd like us to smear Nina Turner and Killer Mike and TYT and try to help Brown get elected. Of course, that's our job in the mainstream media, right? And so they then Clyburn goes, oh, well, you know, and by the way, guys, I went through this process. Endorsements take weeks, at least. Sometimes they take months to put together, okay? So Clyburn says he didn't go through that process at all. He says, oh yeah, it's because my feelings were hurt on the last day and that's why I decided to do it. And you believe that? No, the entire establishment is scared to death of Nina Turner. NinaTurner.com/hello. Go, they're spending millions. She's getting it 27 bucks at a time. NinaTurner.com/hello. So now, secondly, think about if Clyburn is correct. That's arguably worse, because he's saying, oh, I don't care about policy. I didn't endorse based on policy. I didn't endorse based on anything to do with unity. Nina Turner was winning by 35 points at the time. So if you were gonna do Democratic unity, you'd rally around the leading Democratic candidate, right? He said, no, my ego was hurt. Now that's not me saying it. I don't even believe him, but that's Clyburn saying it.
It's amazing, actually.
Yeah, he says, my ego was hurt by a rapper, and Nina Turner, in half a sentence, seemed to kind of agree. So that's it. I'm gonna get all my lobbyist friends, all my corrupt lobbyist friends to spend millions of dollars against Nina Turner. That's how you make decisions? That's how Jim Clyburn makes decisions?
Yes.
That is unbelievable. And the correct headline for that story, if you were an objective reporter, would have been egomaniac politician starts a war within the Democratic Party because he was insulted by a rapper. Jesus Christ. And you saw the clip. Killer Mike didn't even insult him that bad. Let's break down that real quick. Number one, he said, I do it with love. Okay. Number two, he said Clyburn's got upsides, right?
He told the truth. That's and said, what
but
gets
I'm gonna
skin.
Get to that.
Yeah.
But the most important point is he said, look, I wish Clyburn had gotten a better deal from Biden. He didn't say, oh, I'm mad at him for endorsing Biden. He said, I wish he got a better deal for endorsing Biden.
You know,
so
you know
now Clyburn is saying, oh, you're saying I could have gotten a slightly better deal, which is, by the way, nearly indisputable. Well, then my ego has been injured by this fraction, right? And hence, corrupt lobbyist friends, go get Nina Turner, get out of here. Sorry, Anna, what were you gonna say?
No, I was just gonna say, I mean, I do think that his ego was bruised. You know who also wishes that Clyburn got a better deal from Biden? Jim Clyburn. He knows, I mean, he was complaining fairly recently about the fact that Biden isn't keeping up his part of the deal, right? He wants to pass the For the People Act, the Voting Rights Act that includes all of the protections for black voters, something that was reversed by the Supreme Court. And so, yeah, he's upset and salty with Biden. He just doesn't want Killer Mike or anyone else to bluntly state the truth, which is, listen, if you're gonna endorse someone, I mean, Clyburn is the primary figure who saved Biden when he was flailing in the Democratic primary, okay? So Clyburn should be upset. It's just a little sad that he's upset at Killer Mike and not more upset at Joe Biden for not keeping up his side of the deal.
Of course, because even in a best case scenario, Clyburn got suckered by Biden.
That's right.
Right? And so he feels silly. So he's taking out his anger, not against Biden, who could actually help pass For the People Act, who could make a difference in your life. And it could make a difference, gigantic difference for the Democratic Party, gigantic difference, most importantly for African Americans and their voting rights across the country. But he does not go after Biden. Oh, because, oh, beloved corrupt politicians support beloved corrupt politicians. And Joe, oh my God, I would never criticize a colleague. What do you mean? You just launched a howitzer against Nina Turner. She's a Democratic colleague. Oh yeah, but she's a progressive. We despise progressives. Why don't you just say it? Why don't you just say it? And by the way, reporters, why don't you report it? Why are there only like two or three reporters in the whole country, right? This is a battle between progressives and corporate Democrats, and the corporate Democrats are using infinite corruption and millions of dollars to go after Nina Turner. And Anna, you mentioned the media earlier. I'll say two things about that. Daily Beast wrote a hatchet piece, an absolute preposterous hatchet piece against Nina Turner. They're like, did you know that her former company gave her $1,000 or something like along those lines, right? Talking about $1,000 from her former company. The details of it are totally unimportant because it's like nothing, and at most it's a clerical error. The other side has millions, millions. Daily Beast like, I don't see it. Well, what do we have, reporters? No, we have propagandists who work for corporate Democrats. I'm not gonna tell you about the millions of dollars that Brown gets from ExxonMobil, from Comcast, from drug companies, from Democratic Majority for Israel, from Republican donors, from Trump donors. Daily Beast is not gonna touch that because Daily Beast doesn't do news, they do propaganda. Okay, and by the way, one of our viewers asked a great question, the Dragon Who Says Knee says, so we got her about Chantel Brown. Massive corruption scandal might put her in jail. And I look, if we had any kind of decency and any kind of actual rule of law in this country, if she broke that law, she would go to jail. But you know, she's a corporate Democrat, so nobody's going to jail because they are the people in power and they're gonna protect each other. And we see it right here in this case. Anyway, they say, so we got her. I'm sure MSNBC and CNN are running with this story. Now, guys, of course they're not, right? CNN and MSNBC are part of the corruption. Oh, Nina Turner's bad. Let's bring on Claire McCaskill and have her tell us how to win elections. She lost her election. But yes, I know, but she's a corporate stooge. And that's what MSNBC is, a bunch of corporate stooges. So if ever they're gonna do a story on this, it is to attack the progressive, as always with MSNBC and CNN. So there's no end to the corruption, and the mainstream media is a gigantic part of it. There are real facts in the world. You could look up who gave money to who. Okay, but now, and The Intercept does, and that's why they drive, and we drive mainstream media crazy, and The Intercept drives mainstream media crazy. Why? Because we state facts. And they're like, oh, damn it, they're doing reporting. Why won't they do the propaganda that Clyburn and Biden and Pelosi and Schumer want? This is distressing. NinaTurner.com/hello.
All right, so let's do a Nina Turner story that might lighten the mood a little bit for you. I don't know.
Okay, we'll see.
Dr. Cornel West was someone I was lucky enough to interview recently. The full interview will be available on Jacobin's YouTube channel this weekend, Saturday at 10 a.m. Pacific time, 1 p.m. Eastern. And he was talking about Nina Turner. We wanted to ask about why it is he has chosen to not only endorse Nina Turner for Ohio's 11th district, she's running for Congress there. We wanted to know like what it is about her that inspires him to go out and do the canvassing and do the work. And so here's his answer.
We go to Cleveland. We go to support Nina Turner. Why? Because she is a wave in a grand ocean of a black progressive tradition that goes hand in hand with the US progressive tradition and the international progressive tradition. And she is this crucial person at this moment is trying to hold up a bloodstained banner of truth telling and justice seeking that have to do with moral, spiritual, political standards of excellence. And that excellence is manifest in how deep is your love for everyday people? Do you look at the world through the lens of poor and working people? I don't care what color they are. I was just blessed to write the 60th anniversary for Franz Fanon's Wretched of the Earth. I got a chance to read it twice. And it'll be out in a couple of months. And what is one of the fundamental points he makes there? The massive betrayal and pervasive neglect of poor and working people, of national bourgeoisies in every corner of the world. including the United States, including Black America. Nina Turner, I was going to say Nina Simone, because they really go hand in hand in terms of their spirits, their vision, their courage, their style, their willingness to tell the truth, right, is concerned about that kind of betrayal and neglect of poor and working people on behalf of politicians, including Black politicians, including Black neoliberal politicians, like the one she's running against. That's why I go down to see Nina Turner in the spirit of Nina Simone.
No, I mean, that interview was fire. So if you want to check it out, I highly recommend you check it out. It airs on Saturday at 10 a.m. Pacific time, 1 p.m. Eastern. The show is called Weekends. I host it with Nando Vila, and you can find it at youtube.com/JacobinMag. That's youtube.com/JacobinMag. We interviewed him for nearly an hour, so definitely check that out. Cenk.
Okay, so now he's talking about neoliberals, and the neoliberals work with Republicans. That's corporate Democrats. Corporate Republicans, birds of a feather. Can I prove it? Yes, I can prove it in this race. So Trump donors have started to come in for Nina Turner, against Nina Turner, for Chantel Brown. Now remember, Chantel Brown's a tiny, tiny politician. She's the head of a Democratic Party in one county in Ohio. So Nina Turner used to be a state senator in Ohio and was the chair of a presidential campaign for Bernie Sanders. Is a massive politician and a political figure in America. So all of these neoliberals coming in for this person that no one knew before this race. So they're not coming in for her. They're coming in against Nina Turner, okay? And guess who else is? Republicans and Trump donors. So Robert Kraft, owner of the New England Patriots and one of the biggest Trump donors, gave $1 million to Trump's inauguration. Gave $5,800 maxed out to Chantel Brown, okay? And then his family gave another $20,000. And then they gave more to the Democratic majority for Israel. They have got to beat Nina Turner. The Republicans have decided, Trump donors have decided, oh my God, here's a Democrat who might actually fight us. Neoliberals, corporate Democrats, they're our buddies, they're our pets. Nice boy, nice boy, nice boy. Do as you're told. And they do exactly as they're told. Nina Turner is not going to do as she is told. So now Kraft is not the only Trump donor. Oh, there's about a dozen of them, at least, that have been reported. So not only that, the head of the Cuyahoga County Republican Party has come in for Chantel Brown, who's the head of the Cuyahoga Democratic Party. That's unbelievable. I've never seen anything like that. Where the Republicans and Democrats go, remember guys,
corruption is something we want to protect.
Yeah, we stick together.
Yeah,
corrupt people stick together. That head of the Republican Party once criticized somebody for outing corruption and called him a snitch. Okay.
Are they gangsters or something?
Of course they are. Of course they are. So now he gave $1,000 to his counterpart, to the person he's supposed to be opposed to. But they're not opposed. Chantel Brown's not opposed to the Republican Party. She works with the Republican Party. We covered a so-called speech of hers last week, right? With the fake applause from the DJ and the etc. And in that speech, she was talking about, I, unlike Nina Turner, am bipartisan. I work with Republicans all the time. I know, and they know. That's why they're funding your campaign. So the other Republicans that have given to Mitch McConnell, Lindsey Graham, the worst of the worst Republicans, they have also given to Chantel Brown. So donors are like, oh, I like Mitch McConnell and I like Chantel Brown. And one person, none of the donors, not the Republican donors, not the corrupt Democratic donors, like is Nina Turner. Guys, I've never seen anything like this, and I told you it was gonna happen. We told you from day one in this race that it was going to be unprecedented, because Nina Turner is a mortal threat to corruption. So they're all coming. So it's like they put out an APB bulletin. They said,
yeah,
no, this is the one person in America we must stop. And so ninaturner.com/hello, it's just you guys versus all of them. ninaturner.com/hello, you've raised a lot of money for her, okay? Of course, not nearly the money that these guys have done, okay? They've got millions. But that money's making a giant difference. She's still leading in the race, but she used to have a 35-point lead. Now it is closed considerably, and there's only a couple of days left. Now, by the way, we're gonna cover that race. So this Saturday, tune in right here to TYT. I'm going to personally be hosting from here in LA an event they're doing in Cleveland. By the way, Cornel West is going to be there, and so is Bernie Sanders, and so is Cori Bush and Keith Ellison. So that's a get out the vote rally, July 31st. That's in Cleveland. It's at 11:30 a.m. Eastern. I'm just hosting it here from LA, but I don't have anything to do with the rally other than covering it for me as media. The rally is for Nina Turner and other politicians that are backing her, and progressives that are backing her. By the way, tons of politicians in Cleveland not only endorsed Nina Turner from the beginning, but some of them have now flipped that had gone to Chantel Brown because she's the head of the Democratic Party in that county. And they're like, no, this is beyond the pale. They've never seen anything like it. They're like, no, we're going to Nina Turner because these are outsiders. And these people are clearly up to no good. And my God, they're so scared of Nina Turner. She might actually do something for us, right? And on the night of the election, that's just next Tuesday, that's August 3rd, we'll also cover it right here on the Young Turks. My God, if she loses, it's gonna be the biggest heartbreak you've ever seen in your life. But if she wins, they made a mistake. If they went for her and they missed, well, Nina Turner's gonna go to Washington and she ain't gonna miss.
All right, well, one person who misses consistently is Kyrsten Sinema. So when we come back, we'll talk about how she is planning on single-handedly defeating the infrastructure bill, the robust $3.5 trillion bill, and that could mean an end to even the bipartisan infrastructure bill. So we'll give you the details on that story and more when we come back.
All right, back on TYT, Jake and Anna with you guys. Casper, take it away.
Conservative Democratic Senator Kyrsten Sinema has poured cold water on the Democrats' reconciliation infrastructure bill, the $3.5 trillion infrastructure bill that includes everything that is supposed to be the Democrats' agenda or on the Democrats' agenda. Funding for childcare, funding for elder care, the human infrastructure, the climate action, all of the goodies she is against. She's saying that it costs too much money. I mean, I'm sure it has nothing to do with her corporate donors who hate the robust reconciliation version of the infrastructure bill. She says the following, while I support beginning this process, she says, I do not support a bill that costs $3.5 trillion. And in the coming months, I will work in good faith to develop this legislation with my colleagues and the administration. Now, we should also be aware of the fact that Senator Sinema is the same Democratic senator who decided to tap Mitch McConnell's shoulder, a Republican, the former Senate Majority Leader, before she voted down, gave a thumbs down to a $15 an hour minimum wage. Well, turns out that she certainly is seeking validation from Mitch McConnell, and Mitch McConnell has responded to her recent statement regarding the $3.5 trillion infrastructure bill, saying, I was certainly pleased, she's very courageous.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so I'm sure Sinema is very happy that Mitch McConnell is patting her head and telling her she's being a good girl. Good girl doing the bidding of corporate donors and the Republican Party. Now, the good news is though, Cenk, progressives are planning to fight back. I'll give you the details on that, but first some thoughts on Sinema.
Yeah, so guys, the most important thing here is that these two bills, the so-called bipartisan bill that spends about $500 billion in new money, versus the reconciliation bill, the Democratic bill that spends $3.5 trillion. That's the real bill, right? This has always been a trap. So the Republicans and corporate Democrats had always planned to pass only the bipartisan tiny bill. And in fact, they loaded it up with corporate giveaways,
yes,
including the fossil fuel industry, right? So it's an ambush. And so the trick is, progressives and electorate, which is we know is progressive, even though the media and we pretend they're not. We are going to do these wonderful things that you guys love, and it will bring you many jobs, and it will help the environment, etc. Wink. And then, no, they're gonna pull the football every like they do every time. So they're gonna pass a bipartisan bill and then go, oh, we tried so hard for the reconciliation bill, the one that the Democrats and progressives wanted. But golly gee, we just couldn't do it. Kyrsten Sinema wouldn't vote for it. By the way, rotating villains. If it's not Kyrsten Sinema, it'd be Joe Manchin. If it's not Joe Manchin, it'll be Chris Coons. It doesn't matter because they never meant it. They never planned to pass it.
I mean, we saw it from a mile away. And you know what? We never give ourselves credit. I'm gonna give us credit. Right, the second they decided to do to split the infrastructure bill into two bills, right? Oh no, no, we'll go ahead and include everything that Republicans want and corporate Democrats want in the bipartisan bill, and then afterwards, we promise, we swear through reconciliation, we're going to pass the $3.5 trillion bill. No, they were never planning on doing that. I think that there are some Democratic senators who, you know, might have been suspicious, but genuinely thought, no, we'll fight and we'll get the actual more robust bill passed. But you're right, you have Manchin, you have Sinema, you have Coons, you have Warner. I mean, the rotating villains continue. And you know, we were just talking about Joe Manchin standing in the way of the $3.5 trillion infrastructure bill just yesterday. And today it's Sinema. Who knows what's gonna happen tomorrow, but it's becoming increasingly unlikely that we're gonna get a good infrastructure deal based on the nonsense that's going on with these corrupt corporate Democrats.
Look, we have a petition. And so I get it that since there's two bills, it sounds a little confusing, but it isn't. If they vote for the bipartisan bill first, we're screwed because they're never gonna pass a larger bill, okay? I guarantee you could write it down in stone. I mean, whatever bet I could make, I would make on it. I've seen that lie 1,000 times in covering politics for the last quarter of a century, right? So progressives in the House, and we're asking all Democrats in the House, do not vote on the bipartisan bill before you vote on the actual reconciliation bill.
Yep.
So you've got to vote on the reconciliation bill, the real bill, the Democratic bill, the $3.5 trillion bill first. Otherwise, it's an ambush. There's no question about it, right? So we're asking you to participate in that petition. Go to tyt.com/petitions. We'll have the link down below if you're watching on YouTube or Facebook. And so you can read the whole explanation of it on tyt.com/petition/infrastructure vote, okay? So here the order of the voting makes the biggest difference.
Yes.
If they pass the terrible one first, we're done. They've got to pass a good one first. Now we have great news for you guys. This time, progressives are fighting back. So Anna, tell us about that.
So usually when it appears like they might fight back, you'll get a random tweet here or there where they're like hinting that they're thinking about fighting back. But in this case, there's a united front, which I think is important. And remember, the head of the House Progressive Caucus is Pramila Jayapal, and she released a statement. Pramila Jayapal said that votes of caucus members are not guaranteed on any bipartisan package until we examine the details and until the reconciliation bill is agreed to and passed with our priorities sufficiently funded. Following that statement, you have several Democratic lawmakers coming out and agreeing with it. Mondaire Jones is an example. Without a reconciliation package that meets this moment, I'm a no on this bipartisan deal. You have Rashida Tlaib, who called Sinema out by name, and I love to see it. She says Sinema seems not to care that her own state is flooding, the West is burning, and infrastructure around the country is crumbling. Sinema is more interested in gaining GOP friends and blocking much needed resources than fighting for her residents' future. I love that. And she also said that it's time for the White House to play hardball. We didn't elect Sinema as president, and we won't let her obstruction put a Republican in the Oval Office in 2024. It's a reconciliation bill or GOP controlling every level of government again, period. And I think that she's right on that. I'm gonna keep going, just two more tweets. We have Jamal Bowman who says, we were sent to Congress to transform lives. If the Senate fails to support a reconciliation package that meets the moment on climate and our care economy, I can't see myself supporting their goal of passing a bipartisan package for infrastructure. And final one comes from AOC who says, good luck tanking your own party's investment on childcare, climate climate action and infrastructure while presuming you'll survive a 3-vote House margin, especially after choosing to exclude members of color from negotiations and calling that a bipartisan accomplishment. And remember, Kyrsten Sinema led the effort along with Republican Senator Rob Portman on the bipartisan infrastructure deal. So she wants to make sure that that passes. And I love that these lawmakers, progressive lawmakers, are calling her out and saying, no, no, we're not gonna let you succeed in this bipartisan deal until we get what we want in the reconciliation deal.
So I wanna give particular credit to a couple people here for specific reasons. So AOC said that about Sinema's actions. So she, along with Tlaib, deserves credit for calling out a Democratic colleague. You might think that that's normal. Of course, they're gonna vote against your priority. It might kill any action on climate change. Why wouldn't they call him out? But in Washington, if you don't know, if you're new to politics, in Washington, a Democrat calling out another Democrat is the biggest crime. It's like insulting a police officer. It's not in any rule book, but if you do it, it's a third rail. And everybody collapses in on you. The corporate Democrats, Democratic leadership, corporate media, they all voraciously attack you, right? So this is the first time that I've seen it happening in real movement, enough numbers to make a difference on the vote in the House. So I'm actually, I don't know Mondaire Jones at all. We've helped a lot of progressives win, but honestly, we haven't had any contact with Mondaire Jones. So I'm gonna tell you in the most unbiased way you can imagine, Mondaire had the best tweet, okay? Because his says, no, I'm voting no on the bill.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing that matters. We can huff and we can puff. But that matters too, don't get me wrong. Calling out other Democrats matters in terms of putting the spotlight on the issue and creating pressure,
yep,
right? But at the end of the day, you either vote yes or you vote no. So he's clearly on the record saying, no, I'm gonna vote no on your bill unless we vote on our bill first. That's exactly what we're asking of politicians. By the way, send this petition to those politicians, not just to the progressives, but yes, also to them, but to the corporate Democrats. It says no House Democrat should vote for the bipartisan bill before the reconciliation bill. So credit to Mondaire Jones for doing the right thing and in the right way, mm-hmm, okay? And guys, as AOC pointed out, you really don't need a lot of votes in the House at all. And I wanna give you one more piece of context here. Look, when progressives didn't do what we were hoping for in the $15 minimum wage fight, when it was a winnable fight, it wasn't a fantasy, it wasn't like weird time thing for theatrics, right? It was real. We could have won on $15 minimum wage. And they didn't fight on that, okay? And I called them out. And I burned a lot of bridges calling them out, okay? On this one, they are doing the right thing. So when they're not doing the right thing, it is right to criticize. When they are doing the right thing, it's right to support. See, that is called using your mind and your human judgment to be able to discern between different situations. And in this situation, they're saying all the right things and they're saying that they're going to act on that. So great, and go get their back, but send them the petition anyway. We want them on the record. If they say yes, I'm signing the petition as a congressperson, trust me, that'll make gigantic news, that'll affect the negotiations, and most importantly, it'll affect what passes. Because either that infrastructure bill with the climate change and the jobs passes or it doesn't, and that's the most important thing of all.
When we come back from the break, you know, just yesterday, one of our viewers wanted us to cover the Mylan Laboratories story out of West Virginia. This is a story involving corruption, Joe Manchin's daughter. You do not want to miss the details because this not only shows the corruption in government, but even shows how Americans could be harmed by our generic drug supply chain being shifted over, moved over to another country in order for these companies to take advantage of cheap labor. It's just a disgusting, awful story, but you need to know the details. So come right back and I'll tell you what those details are.
All right, back on TYT, Cenk and Anna with you guys. Another huge part of TYT, of course, is Johnny Pie, John Iadarola, Daddy Dragon. And he flippantly said today, apparently, that if you gifted 1,000 subs on Twitch, that he would dye his hair purple. He didn't think it was possible. Wrong. Anything is possible with the TYT community. It's already up to 710 gifted subs on Twitch. And J-Dub just did 9 months. Oh, these are all prime subs. J-Dub, antagonistic, Justin Sane, Jason Young, Super Wiggly. Tell me what to put gave 1,234 bits. Iron Man gave 2,122 bits. But the gifted subs, AJ Duenas gifted 6 subs. And so if you get to 1,000, is he really gonna do it? We were just debating here. Is he really gonna do it? I don't know.
I feel like John, I think your interpretation is correct. He did not expect us to hit that goal. So that's why he put it out there. But he's also a man of his word. John's a very honest person. So I believe in him. I really do think he will, in the very least, like a temporary hair dye, like semi-permanent, you know? And I would love to see it. I think John would look great with purple hair.
Zach. Zach Harrow Lepatev just gifted 5 subs.
Yeah.
Keep it going. Keep it going.
Yes. Okay.
All right. Twitch.tv/TYT. Great shows, including Anna on Deep Dive Tonight with Jordan Yule.
Yes. I'm actually super excited about it. Jordan Yule's going to ask me all sorts of like super controversial questions.
Ooh,
so definitely check it out, Deep Dive with Jordan Yule. I'm really excited, so looking forward to it.
That's right after our bonus episode today, so it's at 8:30 p.m. Eastern.
Yep.
All right,
so a critical plant that manufactures pharmaceutical drugs, generic pharmaceutical drugs, is shipping jobs and manufacturing over to another country. And this is in West Virginia. Joe Manchin should care quite a bit about it because he purports to really care about jobs in West Virginia, especially union jobs in West Virginia. But it turns out that when union leaders tried to get a meeting with him to kind of do something to stop this from happening, Manchin wasn't so interested. I'll get to his statement in just a second. But first, let's talk about this laboratory and why it's so important. It's Mylan Laboratories. It has made 61 drug products, including a substantial portion of the world's supply of a critical thyroid medicine. It's 1,431 highly trained workers, analytical chemists, industrial engineers, and senior janitors among them, are represented by the Steel Workers Union. But unfortunately, all are slated to be laid off by month's end. So to give you an idea of how things have already been scaled back at this laboratory, at its height back in 2016, the Morgantown manufacturing site employed more than 3,700 full-time employees and made more than 1,400 drug products, a scale that dwarfs most American drug manufacturing sites, according to FDA records. Now, this is actually an incredibly important plant or laboratory because they specifically focus on generic drugs, which tend to be far more affordable than the name brand pharmaceutical drugs. And as we all know, there's a huge problem with our incredibly fragile supply chain. We experienced it during COVID, where a lot of the things that we needed were being manufactured in other countries, and we were having a tough time getting the supplies, right? Whether it was masks or other protective gear for healthcare workers, toilet paper is another example. The idea of manufacturing these critical generic drugs in other countries should make you uneasy, in addition to the fact that we're losing more jobs, unionized jobs, to another country where these executives are looking to exploit cheap labor. Now, when officials from the United Steelworkers Local 8957 managed to get in touch with Manchin, he was incredibly dismissive. So apparently he told them in a quick 2-minute call, video call, he was on the Senate floor. He said, "Sorry about your luck. It sounds like they've reached a corporate decision. There's very little I can do." So the president of the local Steelworkers Union said the following: "We can't reach him. He won't respond. His aides won't respond." And they have good reason to believe that the reason he won't respond is because of some pretty significant conflicts of interest. Union officials believe that Manchin's silence can be traced to the fact that his daughter, Heather Birch, the former CEO of Mylan, walked away with a $30.8 million golden parachute from the Mylan-Upjohn merger. So the decision was made after this merger took place. And as you can see, Manchin's daughter took advantage of a giant $30.8 million golden parachute when this merger happened and she was no longer the CEO of the company. The resuming or the resulting entity, which so swiftly targeted the Morgantown plant for closure, is led by Bursch's former Mylan colleagues who were also exorbitantly compensated in the merger. So look, there's so many, Cenk, there's so many conflicts of interest with Manchin. I mean, we just did a story yesterday about how he makes $500,000 a year off of his investments in dirty coal in the state of West Virginia. He makes more than double his salary in the Senate by being invested in dirty coal operations in the state of West Virginia. So many conflicts of interest. And in this case, who cares about our fragile supply chains? Who cares about unionized jobs? His daughter's making money. His daughter's got these friendly ties and financial ties to this company, which just did this awful merger. And so he's gonna look out for himself. He's gonna look out for his family's financial interests, and he's gonna move on with his life.
Okay, so there's so many villains in the story, but it's so emblematic of so many different things that we tell you about on the show all the time. So first of all, unions often back corporate Democrats like Joe Manchin. How's that working out for you?
Don't do it.
Okay, so if you'd backed a progressive in that race, maybe you would have kept those jobs in West Virginia. Oops, okay, but they're the least of the problems here. Overall, the Steelworkers Union there, employing chemists and engineers, not employing them, but having them, inside their union and protecting them, that was great. And we wish they had more union workers there. And they needed the protection there from a giant, giant company who screwed them, okay? So now we move to the second issue. Joe Biden, where is he? Nowhere. Why? Oh, I need Manchin for votes, so I'm not gonna criticize him. Besides which, corporate Democrat's gonna corporate Democrat, right? So peas in a pod. So Biden and Manchin agree on almost everything. So nobody's saying anything about all those jobs that are getting outsourced, including the Biden administration. Now, let me go to a hero before I come back to the villains. So the guy who originally started Mylan Laboratories is Mike Puskar. And he turns out to be an awesome guy. And I love this part of the story because it's something I've told you guys 100 times and I didn't know Mike's story, okay? I said, look, sometimes founders of private companies can actually do the right thing. Public corporations, they have to maximize profit by law, they don't have a choice, right? And that's why you have that greed machine that's called the stock market, right? But in this case, he started Mylan Laboratories in the 1960s and he always looked out for his employees. He would give all of them turkeys on Thanksgiving. He'd give them all Christmas bonuses and he would give them free healthcare. No contributions, no nothing, yep. Okay? And especially at a time when nobody was doing it. When he finally passed away, at that point the bad guys had taken over his company. So he said, make sure that they can see my casket for 12 hours because I don't want the company screwing over the workers and doing 8-hour shift at that time. Because he knew already the employees loved him, the company hated him. And after that, he got pushed out basically, right? And so, you know what happened? There was a line that went around a city block to see his funeral. It was all the workers of the company, okay? And they loved him. So that's actually was still possible, is still possible in America. But unfortunately, the rest of the story shows you what normally happens. So he brings in Robert J. Curry to run the company. That was the principal mistake he realized later because he was sick. He had to hand off the company. But he before he died, he realized, oh no, I made a terrible mistake. Curry's going in the wrong direction. Curry then brings in Heather Bresch, who is Manchin's daughter. Oh, and the things go terrible. Yep. Okay, so they start, the turkeys are gone, the Christmas bonuses are gone.
The first thing they want to do is cut costs and skirt federal regulations, FDA regulations.
Yeah, oh, by the way, so originally Mylan Laboratories, when it was run by the good guy, encouraged regulations and was super proud of it. And people would come in, the FDA would come in and use them as an example of what to do right. And by the way, through all that time, they made a lot of money. So it's not like they didn't make money, it's not like they were gonna go under, they were a profitable company. But he could still treat everybody with respect and he could still make safe products that everybody was proud of, right? So now when Bresch comes at Manchin's daughter, oh, everything goes to hell. You guys remember when she increased the price of EpiPen by 400%?
I sure do.
Yeah,
Yep.
And that was a huge story. So, oh, there's nothing I could do. Of course, there's something you could do. You don't have to increase it by 400%. That endangers people's lives.
It's interesting. It seems like there's quite a bit he can do when it comes to defeating progressive agenda items in the infrastructure bill or the For the People Act or any type of agenda that Democrats tend to care about. But when it comes to these types of issues, oh, there's nothing he can do. There's nothing. He has no power, really, as a US senator.
Look at that. Joe Manchin says, oh, the reason I do what I do is because I got to protect the union jobs in the coal mines,
no,
right?
He wants to protect his
profits.
No, you're
profiting off the coal mines. How about protecting the union jobs at my own laboratories? Oh, don't care because my daughter made $30 million. Now, I got to explain that part to you guys. So when she did the EpiPen thing and they took away the Christmas bonuses, etc., she's making millions of dollars as an executive, right? And then they would turn around and tell the employees, well, we don't have any money. But we see your public filings. We see how much profit you make. That's just a flat out lie, right? Okay, so now, if you're wondering about the golden parachute, why does anybody ever pay someone on their way out? There might be legitimate reasons in some cases, but in cases like when Dick Cheney left Halliburton to go become vice president, they gave him a giant, I think it was around $34 million. I'm saying that off the top of my head, you could look it up. They gave him a giant, what's called a golden parachute. Why? Because he's gonna be the vice president and he's gonna start a war where Halliburton's gonna make billions. So that's a nice going away present,
yep,
right? In Brescia's case and Curry's case, the reason why they give him such huge packages is, remember, we're gonna outsource everybody's jobs. Everybody knows that. Nobody, like, it's not like Brescia was caught off guard by it. No, that was the whole point of the merger, okay? And so be a good boy and good girl, okay? And screw over all of your workers, give us the company, we're gonna cut costs, but you're gonna get paid big time. And make sure your daddy doesn't do anything about it. Make sure that dog is muzzled, okay? And they know, and it's a smart move, if Manchin's muzzled, Biden's muzzled. So you pay $30 million to Manchin's daughter and you get everything you want. And that's exactly what happened.
Man, $30.8 million was Brescia's golden parachute. $30.8 million is what the reward she received after this merger happened. And I wanna just quickly, before we go, again, emphasize the importance of manufacturing life-saving generic drugs in the United States, right? We again experienced the fragility of our supply chains during the coronavirus pandemic. And so here's what we do know. So first, let me just read this quote that I thought was fantastic from Barbara Evans Fleshour, who is a Democratic member of the West Virginia House of Delegates. She says, quote, did 600,000 people die in vain without us learning we couldn't get hold of sanitizer and toilet paper? Aren't medical drugs important? Wouldn't we want them to be manufactured in our country? You would think so, but when you live under a system that puts profits over people, we shouldn't be surprised that these decisions are made. And also, 63% of all FDA registered facilities manufacture finished doses of generic drugs. But here's the problem. 87% of those making their active ingredients are located outside of the United States. So we're already in a pretty dire situation when it comes to manufacturing generic drugs, because a lot of the ingredients necessary for those generic drugs are manufactured in other countries. This move is making the situation even worse.
And next time you hear Manchin tell you, oh, I'm doing it because I want to protect jobs. For example, he voted against increasing the minimum wage. His excuse was, oh, I wanna protect jobs.
He's full of it. We all know he's a liar.
No, the only people who pretend not to know, and maybe they don't, or maybe they're really news actors, as I tell you, and they don't have two brain cells in their heads. But mainstream media, they, oh no, Joe Manchin is from conservative state and is doing this to protect West Virginia. Well, where's he at? No, Joe Manchin's a liar. When his family is getting tens of millions of dollars, all of a sudden he doesn't give a damn about your job. By the way, he never cared about your job. It was always about his profits, his campaign contributions, his corporate lobbyists, and his family. So they get rich, and this is why mainstream media lost credibility with the right wing and everyone else. Because they keep telling you, no, Joe Manchin is a very honest person who's doing things out of principle. No, he's a corrupt crook. That's the reality, we just proved it to you.
When we come back for the second hour, Republican Representative Mo Brooks, who's facing a lawsuit by Democratic Congressman Eric Swalwell, kind of told on himself about the January 6th riots. And Cenk, go ahead.
We got so many great stories, but I got to update you on one other thing. Johnny Pie's purple hair. Smatty Dragon gifted 10 subs, True Dwabi 5 subs, Spanky 5 subs, Daisy Dragon 5 subs, Progressive Squirrel 5 subs, Senator Cherry Bowfight 10 subs, Little Mac McGee 30 subs, Rodney 10 subs, Joe Marche 5 subs, Drink That OJ 5 subs, Darius 10 subs, Matthias Giovanni 10 subs. I can't wait to see John with purple hair. Okay, keep her going at twitch.tv/TYT. Love you guys, we'll be back. Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Young Turks. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, Cenk Uygur, and I'll see you soon.